I greet each one of you in the name of a faithful God. I do believe the Spirit was working this morning. Second song that we sang, does anybody remember what it was? Thank you. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not. Thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. And that last promise, or fact, the truth, just struck me because we're talking about God's faithfulness today. And I heard some of your testimonies. And we're going to look at a story this morning thousands of years ago where a man found God to be faithful. And he does not change. He is always faithful. Then Brother Jay took us to Psalm 40. Verse 1, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. That would be the testimony of the man that we're planning to look at this morning. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works. And you didn't get quite this far, Jay, but verse 10, I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. So when God shows his faithfulness to us, we cannot conceal it. We need to tell others about it. It's not just, well, sometimes we ponder things in our hearts and we marvel in our hearts, but we also need to be the ones declaring God's faithfulness. I want to take you to Genesis 24. It's a man we're looking at here who is simply called a servant in this story. His name is Eliezer. We know that from other passages. I don't think it's in here at all. But I just wanted to put some of our story characters up here on the board. So what? The story starts out with the main character, perhaps, of the story, which is Abraham. Abraham was 140, probably 140 at this point, and he was getting older. He had followed God's direction. He had left his homeland behind, and he seemed to have very little contact with his family that he had left behind when he moved. I understand it is a three-week journey. 450 to 500 miles to where the rest of his family was living. And God had called him to another place. And it wasn't hop on a plane and go back and visit family. It's a different era of time. We also know that his son Isaac was about 40 years old, and he was very concerned about who Isaac would marry. We have Sarah. She's not mentioned much in here, but she had already passed away. Probably 2.5 to 3 years before this story, she had passed away, going by the dates that we have. And she had been 127 years old. Then, of course, we have Isaac. And he had been born to this family. His parents, well, one was 100 and one was 90. To very old parents. He was about 40 years old and he was still single. And I had to ponder what his social life must have been like growing up. He had his parents and he had the servants. I don't know that he would have much more social life than that. Where was he going to find a wife? It does seem like he was very submissive to his father. We know the story about when Abraham was called to take his son up on the mountain and sacrifice his only son. We know how that ended. God provided a ram. However, it seems that Isaac was a submissive son. We also know by the end of the story that he spent time meditating in the fields in the evening after his workday was done. At least he did once. Then we have some other characters. We have Abraham's brother. So when Abraham was called to travel to Canaan, the whole family, Abraham's father and his brothers, well, the one brother had already passed away. There were three brothers. But the two that were living, Abraham and Nahor, they went part way. And then we know that God called Abraham to go further. So Nahor stayed there where their father had been. Like I said, it was 450 to 500 miles northeast from where Abraham was at the time of our story. He was the father of, one other thing we know about him from Joshua 24:2 is that he served other gods. So he was not like Abraham in that his faith was in the God that we know, the true God. Then we have Nahor's youngest son, Bethuel. Of course, he lived there, the same area. He would have been in southeastern Turkey, northeast of Israel. And he was the father of Laban and Rebekah. A few more chapters down through Genesis, Laban becomes very prominent. But it's not what our story is about this morning. And then we have Rebekah, his daughter. I don't know where she came in the family. But we know that she was tasked with going and getting water, probably for the family. We have the picture of her coming with the empty pitcher on her shoulder. And she came to fill it up and take it back home. It was apparently her job. We also know that she was very kind, generous, and helpful. That's the kind of person she was. We can see it coming out in her life. I don't think this was the only time that she acted like that. I believe it was a habit for her to look out and see the needs of others before she was even asked. I also noticed that she's a very brave woman, going by how willing she was to go to a land she had never been, to marry a man she had never met. And I don't know how many young women would do that. Then we have another man, that's the one we want to look at. And you could kind of say he's perhaps the link between these two families. And that's Eliezer the servant. He was the head servant. In verse 2 of Genesis 24 here, and Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had. So it was reminded of Joseph in Potiphar's house. This man managed Abraham's wealth, his business enterprise, and he seemed to have access, able to make choices on his own, and he was a very access to a lot of resources. It's also interesting to know that if Abraham had not had any children, if Ishmael and Isaac had not been born, then Eliezer would have been the heir to everything that Abraham owned when Abraham passed away. Which is interesting, because I'm sure Eliezer was aware of that. But nowhere throughout any scriptures do we have any sense of any resentment toward Isaac. He's not saying, this is the young man that came in and took what I thought I was going to get. No, he called Isaac his master. And it speaks of humility. It speaks of him knowing his place in life and accepting that. And I was very impressed by that detail, even though, it's the fact that we don't see any resentment there speaks of his character. I want to go through this chapter. I want to read sections at a time, and then we'll expound on them. But I would like volunteers to read these sections. And the first one is Genesis 24, verses 1 through 9. Does anybody volunteer to read those verses for us? Brian, do you want to read them?
And Abram was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abram in all things. And Abram said unto his eldest servant of the house that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord and the God of heaven and the God of the earth that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son and the daughters of the Canaanites among my son, but thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? And Abram said unto him, beware thou that thou bring not my son thither again. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this. this land. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath. Only bring not my son thither again. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abram his master, and swore to him concerning that matter.
Thank you. So we see here that Abraham was concerned about who his son would marry. He did not want his son to marry into the families there in that land. I think he saw the wickedness of their idolatry and their lifestyle. He did not want that for his family. We also see that he was very concerned that Isaac would not go back to the land of his fathers. God had promised Abraham that his seed would be in this land, and that's Abraham was very concerned that that Isaac would not go back. But our focus of our story this morning is not on Abraham. It's on Eliezer. And Eliezer here was given quite the task. His master said, I have a job for you to do, but it wasn't just any job. He had to go to a land. I was thinking he probably didn't know anyone there, but perhaps he did. Perhaps he had been with Abraham back then when they lived there. I don't know. We're not told that. I already said it's 3 weeks of travel. It's not just hop on a plane and be there tonight. It's a totally different circumstances than what we're so used to today. He was supposed to find a woman who was willing to travel this long distance. As I said, to marry a man she had never met. And just try to wrap your head around that. I believe Eliezer was trying to wrap his head around that because you can see in his questions that he had for Abraham, like, how's this going to work? But he was also expected to find a woman who met the expectations of his master and also his master's son, because this would be a wife for his future master. So we see here in verse 5, Eliezer he's not a yes man. He doesn't quickly promise, oh yes, I'll do that. He says, I need more direction. What exactly should I do? He said, what if the woman's not willing to follow me to this land? And he said, do I need to take Isaac to her? And we know Abraham was not going to have that. But he knew that the task would not be easy. And so he wanted to know what he was promising. He was careful to understand what he was agreeing to. He was not a man to make light decisions. In verse 9, we see that he came to an understanding and he agreed to do as Abraham had said. Verses 10 to 14. Can somebody read those verses for us? Yes, Rodney.
And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia under the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day, and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master.
Thank you. That's correct. So we know that Eliezer is setting off on this trip, this 3-week journey. He doesn't know what to expect. He doesn't know who or what he's going to find. But we do see, we do know that God didn't tell him what was going to happen. God didn't tell him that you're going to meet this person at this time in this place, and all you have to do is go there, and it's all going to unfold for you. God didn't tell him that. He didn't know. He had no idea how this is going to work out. We see they had to step forward in faith, just like we read in other stories throughout the Bible, just like we need to do today so often. We need to step out in faith, knowing that God is going to be faithful. We have that promise. He has been to us. We see that he was prepared. He took 10 camels. You ask, what were the 10 camels for? Well, he took some men with him, I gathered, Because the men who were with him mentions in verse 54, and I think another verse mentions them and implies other men went along. But we also know it showed faith on his part because he was expecting to bring some people back with him. He was prepared. He was allowing God to be faithful to fulfill what he was going for. I think that's what we have to do today. We have to be prepared for God to answer our prayers. We also see here he took a lot of gifts. Verse 10 in the ESV probably says a little more clearly. And it says, and departed, taking all sorts of choice gifts from his master. So we see he was also prepared in that way. Verse 12 we see here, it reaches out to God. And this is what struck me. I think I failed to mention the title of the sermon this morning. The title is Eliezer and His God. Because to Eliezer, it was not just the God of his master Abraham. Yes, he called him that. But it was a personal God to him. And he spoke to this God. And he called out to him for help, like the psalmist did in Psalm 40 there we heard in devotions. He had this impossible task before him. He knew it was an impossible task, almost a ridiculous one, if you think about what all was at stake. And so here in verse 12, he reaches out. He says, O Lord God. He knew where he had to go for help. He was a man that was used to managing things and making things happen. He was a man of many resources, of his master's resources. But he knew that these things alone were not going to get him where he needed to go. He needed more than that. He needed God. And he was calling out to God. I believe it was a humble prayer. He says, O Lord God of my master. It just shows that he understood his place in life. He seemed to be a humble person. He never lifted himself above his master anywhere that I read in these verses. It was a loving prayer. He says, show kindness unto my master Abraham. He cared about Abraham, and he wanted God to show kindness to him. It was a prayer of love. In verse 14, he asked for a sign. God, how am I going to know who the right woman is for Isaac? Would you please show me? And he sets a high bar for God because he says, a woman's going to come to the well, and when I go to ask her for a drink, she's going to give me a drink. Okay, is that enough? A complete stranger? No, that's not enough. He wants this woman to not only give him a drink, but offer voluntarily to draw water for all 12 camels. Now, I didn't look up how much camels drink, but we know they drink a lot of water. They were perfect for desert travel because they were able to store up a lot of water. It's not drawing water for cows. Some of you know cows can drink a lot of water. It's not drawing water for horses. It's drawing water for camels. This is a big task. And he was not going to ask her to do it. She had to voluntarily offer to draw water for his camels. So it was a very high bar that he was setting here. He wanted to be very clear. She also had to be friendly and helpful. And as we see, a willing worker, if she was voluntarily offering to do that much work. And I believe that God delights in having us call out to him. Oh Lord God, I need your help. And as we call on him for that help, he wants that from us. God, who is the right spouse for me? God, what job do you want me to do? Should I start a company? Or maybe should I close my company? Or should I sell my company? Who would be a good employee in my company? Or who would be a good employer to work for? As we mentioned, what job do you want me to? We have all these questions in life. That's just a very small part of our life. What vehicle should I buy? And all those things we face on an everyday basis. And we cry out to God for help. And that's what he loves when we do that. So we call on him for guidance in our life. Psalm 25, 4 and 5 says, show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths, lead me in thy truth, and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. We need to have a heart calling out on God for direction all the day. Brings us to verses 15 to 21. Does anybody volunteer to read those verses? Yes, Josiah.
It came to pass, before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well, and filled her pitcher, and came up. And the servant ran to meet her, and said, "Let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher." And she said, "Drink, my lord." And she hastened and let down her pitcher upon her head and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, "I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking." And she hastened and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again unto the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. And the man, wondering at her, held his peace to wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not.
Thank you. Verse 15 is such a wonderful verse. The first phrase, "and it came to pass before he had done speaking." It reminded me of the verse from Isaiah 65:24. "And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear." So many times, God knows we're going to call out to him for help. He knows that we're going to find ourselves at a place where we don't know which way to turn. We don't know, our resources and our smarts and our wisdom is not enough. We need more. And God knows those times, and I think he leads us into those times because he wants us to be dependent on him. To realize, he knows we're dependent on him, but he wants us to realize our dependence on him. And yet, he's working things out so that when we call, he's there to answer. Before we even knew we had a problem, God was preparing Rebekah for Isaac long before Abraham sat down and thought, "Well, who's Isaac going to marry?" So we see that Rebekah was on her way to the well before Eliezer had even started praying. God was interested in their lives, and he was working well before anyone had called on him. Verse 17, we catch Eliezer's excitement. And the servant ran to meet her, and you just catch, he's wondering, "Is this the one? I was just praying this prayer, and here comes this young lady. Is she the one?" But he didn't know. So he asked her for the drink of water, as he had told God he would do. And she quickly got the pitcher of water down from his shoulder, from her shoulder, and gave him water to drink. And sure enough, she poured the rest of the water in for his camels, and it says she ran to get more water. She didn't just slowly, begrudgingly say, "Well, I guess I should probably give these camels water too." She was excited. She was running to get it done. And it just so astonished him. But he's, it says, verse 21, he says, "And the man, wondering at her, held his peace." So she was there watering these camels, and he was basically speechless because he had just prayed this prayer. And here was this woman doing exactly what he had prayed, and he was just wondering, amazement, I believe. It takes us to verses 22 to 28. Does anybody want to read that for us? Yes, Glenn.
Thank you.
So we see here in verse 22 that after she had finished this job that she had voluntarily took on, that he brought out some jewelry. And I don't know what it was worth in their day, but in our day, that much gold would have been worth about $8,000. And it's hard to imagine her thoughts. I just watered your camels, and I get a gift like this. What's going on? But see, God had answered Eliezer's prayer to a point, because the conditions that Eliezer had set out were answered. But if you remember, Abraham had set out another condition. It had to be someone of his kindred, of Abraham's family. And Eliezer had no idea who this young woman was. So he asks her. He's still wondering. See, Abraham said, "Thou shalt go into my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac." So he had gone to the right country. God had answered his prayer. But was she of his kindred? He didn't know that yet. And as he asked her who she is, and I think what Eliezer heard her saying is, "I am the granddaughter of Abraham's brother." And it all clicked right there for Eliezer. She is Abraham's kindred. There is another test. There is another sign that this is the one. And then she goes on to say that you're welcome to stay at our house. See, there's another test. Because where are we going to go from here? We're in an awkward position. I believe this is the woman for my master's son to marry, but where do we go from here? And she volunteered to come to her house. And verse 26 impresses me, because it would appear that he started praying out loud. We don't know that. But he was just so overtaken with awe and amazement at God just working these things out. He just started praising God right on the spot. And I think that's what we need to do. He was praying in front of the stranger. He was praying in front of the men that were with him. He was not ashamed to call out to God and worship and praise. But this girl, too, was overwhelmed. Verse 28, it says she ran to her mother's house and she let him sit at the well. And I think she was probably just trying to understand what was going on. She's trying to grab. This has happened so quickly as these events unfolded, and she's just like, "What is going on? Who is this man? Where are we going with this?" And she ran back home and left him there after offering that he could stay at her place. Well, he didn't know where her place was, and so he waited. He was sitting there and waiting on God once again. That takes us to verses 29 to 33. Can somebody read those for us? Do we have any volunteers? Verses 29 to 33? Sure. Thank you. So we see that when Rebecca gets home, her brother Laban sees the expensive jewelry that this man had given her, and he hears the wild story that she's telling, and obviously his interest is very piqued. So it appears that he made preparation for these visitors. Possibly he just told some servants what to do quickly, because he tells Eliezer then that when he gets to Eliezer, he tells him that I have prepared a place for you and your camels for the night. So he quickly takes care of the preparation, then he runs out to welcome Eliezer. He says when they got there, their feet were washed, the food was on the table, and it was time to eat. That's where we're at in the story. Eliezer had something more important than eating. He said, I can't eat until I have this question answered. So that takes us to verses 34 to 49. Do I have any volunteers for those verses?
34 to 49. And he said, I'm Abraham's servant, and the Lord hath blessed my master greatly, and he has become great, and he hath given him flocks and herds, and silver and gold, and men servants and maid servants, and camels and asses. And Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master when she was old. And unto him hath he given all that he had. My master made me swear, saying, thou shalt not take a wife to my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, in whose land I dwell, but thou shalt go unto my father's house and to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son. And I said unto my master, peradventure the woman will not follow me. And he said unto me, the Lord, before whom I walk, will send his angel with thee, and prosper thy way, and thou shalt take a wife from my son, from my kindred, and of my father's house. Then shalt thou declare thee this my oath, when thou comest to my kindred, and if they give not thee one, thou shalt declare from my oath. And I came this day unto the well, and said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, if now thou didst prosper my way which I go, behold, I stand by the well of water. It shall come to pass that when the virgin cometh forth to draw water, I say to her, give me, I pray thee, a little water of thy pitcher to drink. And she say to me, go drink thou, and I will also draw for thy camels. Let the same be the woman whom the Lord hath appointed out from my master's son. And before I had done speaking, in my heart, behold, Rebekah came forth with a pitcher on her shoulder, and she went down to the well, water, and I said unto her, let me drink, I pray thee. And she made haste and let down her pitcher from her shoulder, and said, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. So I drank, and she made the camel drink also.
Let's go to verse 49.
And I asked her and said, whose daughter art thou? And she said, the daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Micah bare unto him. Put the earring upon her face and the bracelets upon her hand. And I bowed down my head and worshipped the Lord and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, which had led me in the right way to take my master brother's daughter unto his son. And now, if ye will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me, if not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left.
Thank you. So Eliezer knew who he was. But these people that he had met did not know who he was. I don't think he had even told Rebekah who he was. And his first words of explanation, of introduction of himself, is, I am Abraham's servant. And I wonder what went through Bethuel and Laban's minds as they heard this. And Bethuel was probably thinking, oh, that's my uncle. He went west. His guide called him, and we haven't seen him for a long time. We haven't heard much out of him, and here's his servant. And what is happening now? But he also hears that his uncle has been very blessed by this God that he served, that called him to a foreign land. And then Eliezer tells him the whole story here, and we're not going to get into a lot on that because it was just repeating the story that we already know. But he was telling his host how God had worked. And it appears that it just awed his audience just like it had awed him. And as they marveled at this story and how God would work, a God that who would work this way, you know, they were also serving other gods. I don't know if they had any relationship with the God of Abraham, but we do know they also served other gods. But Eliezer tells them the whole story and how God was just unfolding everything before him, but there was still another test. Do you remember what that other test was? Because he had said to Abraham, what if she's not willing to come back with me? And Abraham said, well, if she's not willing to come back with you, then you're free from your oath. You've done what you could. So there was still this final test, and he was wondering, would Rebekah go home with him? And that takes us to verses 50 to 61. Do we have any volunteers to read that? 50 to 61. Yes, Richard.
Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, "The thing proceedeth from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee, bad or good. Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord hath spoken." And it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard their words, he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment and gave them to Rebekah. Hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master. And they said, "We will call the damsel and inquire of her mouth." And they called Rebekah and said unto her, "Wilt thou go with this man?" And she said, "I will go." And they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant, and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said unto her, "Thou art our sister. Be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them." And Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man, and the servant took Rebekah and went his way.
Thank you. So we see here that Rebekah's father, Bethuel, and her brother Laban were amazed at how God had worked, and they basically were speechless. They said, "We don't have anything to say, either positive or negative. It's obvious that God's working through this. And yes, she may go." And we see Eliezer's praise again. Eliezer's just continually expressing praise and worship to God for how he's fulfilling this impossible task. Because now he actually had permission from her family that she could go back with him. And so he's finally at rest enough to eat the meal that was before him and to spend the night. But he got up the next morning, and there was still a question. Would Rebekah be willing to go with him? Would she be willing to leave everything that was familiar to her? She had never been to this other land. She had never flown in to see her uncle and see what that area was like. She didn't know. And would she be willing? She had never met this man that she was being asked to marry. She didn't know who he was. She knew he was wealthy, I guess. But I believe that Eliezer's faith in God and his worship in God, as he laid out how God had worked, I believe Eliezer's faith was contagious. And as we in our lives, as we see God working in our lives, and as we praise and worship him for what he has done for us, that can grow faith in others as well. That can encourage others to take steps in faith to places that they have never been. And I believe that is one of our purposes in life. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, "Wilt thou go with this man?" And she said, "I will go." She gave her blessing. And the final test had finally passed, to where Eliezer knew that God had truly answered his prayer. God had shown him faithful, and Eliezer was eager to get back home, as we read in the story here. That brings us to 62 to 67. Yes, Brian.
And Isaac came from the way of the dwell of Lahairo, for he dwelt in the south country, and Isaac went out to meditate in the field of lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. For she had said unto the servant, "What man is this that walketh in the field to meet us?" And the servant had said, "It is my master." Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife. Loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death.
I assume Isaac was aware of the journey that Eliezer was going on. I believe at 40 years old, he would have been old enough to know what was going on in the household. And Eliezer had left, as I understand, about a three-week journey. And so Isaac didn't hear anything for 3 weeks. But you can imagine that when Eliezer's there and God's unfolding this plan, he's probably there texting Isaac, "Hey, you can't believe what happened, right? Abraham, no, none of that." So there was 3 weeks. There was a time spent there. We don't know how much, probably 2 days maybe. And then there's another 3 weeks. So it was at least a 6 weeks period of time that Abraham and Isaac had no idea if God was answering the prayer. Eliezer knew. And so we have Eliezer coming back, and he's just telling Isaac, you know, that you can't believe what happened. God provided. And I did bring you a wife, just as Abraham asked. And verse 67, we see how Isaac loved his wife. And verse 67 sounds like the happily ever after. We know that for all of us, marriage is not a happily ever after. We have struggles in life. We have challenges that we meet together. And one of those challenges, if you keep reading, is they had another 20 years without any children. They were a childless couple for 20 years, and then Isaac called on God again, his faith in God. "God, you need to help us. We're childless." And we know the story there that they were given twins. And then these twins also, Isaac and Rebecca, saw things differently as they were raising those twins. So we see that we continually need to have God's guidance. God provides. He's faithful one day at a time. And as they were facing these challenges throughout life, I believe they had one thing that they could rest in very, very confidently, and that was that God had led them together and that they were in God's will because God has shown him so faithful. We're thinking about Eliezer in conclusion here. I believe that Eliezer was a man who had many resources at his fingertips and was used to managing Abraham's enterprise, as we know. We also see that he was a man who was loyal and humble. He was dedicated to his master. His was a life of service. When Abraham gave him a task, he went to great lengths to make it happen. He did not shy from duty. But most importantly, we see here in our story this morning was that Eliezer knew who to call on for help. He knew who to go to for direction. His own smarts, his own wisdom, his own management was not enough. And it's never enough for any of us. We depend on God, and we need to remember that. And as we remember our dependence on God, we call out to God. And as we call out to God and he leads in our life and we accept his leading in our lives, and God is faithful every step of the way. And it's encouragement to us as we read these Old Testament stories about how God showed himself faithful to those who were willing to call on him, and he still does today. And that is the burden, the challenge that I leave with you. Let's continue to call out on God, to God, because we know he is faithful. Let's pray.